Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. What a depressive state of the public space. The news are depressing. This whole thing about PDD, diddling basically rappers, thinking that all rappers basically got fucked in the ass by PDD, that really sucks. Why? Why would you do this, bro? Why? What? It doesn't make sense. How they didn't all die of AIDS yet, I don't know. Anand says, my three-year-old wants to know why Godzilla likes smashing cats. Does he? I wasn't aware. Sorry, I can't provide much insight on this. And meanwhile, Trump is totally falling for the Iran psyop. And so he's been bought out by the Iran psyop. He is bought out by the Jews and... A Trump presidency will almost certainly mean a Iran war, another Middle East engagement, no promise. Okay, not cats, but cars. Well, of course, cars are the CGI's favorite. Like every movie, the CGI team always wants to blow up some cars, get some cars flying. Yeah, that's an action movie. That's a big thing. It's what they really like. I remember the Terminator where they were flipping gigantic trucks. That's just a thing. It's a thing with special effects. It's a thing that normally in your normal life you don't see flying cars. But in CGI, you can do a lot of this. A new guy says, fame is a real pain in the ass. Yeah, how can you... manage this even to be having anal sex with all these gangsters? How does that work? Why? It's so inefficient. Why not be efficient? You sign people for CDs, you sell their CDs, you sell their music. Now you have to do a whole party where you waste money, where you run risks, you have thousands of bottles of lube, and you run the risk of getting AIDS. Why? Why are we here? I don't understand. What's the motivation? All of this to deliver your seed into a non-fertile end, the end of the digestive tube of some other rapper. And now you get a CD, and now you are collaborating. There must have been something like social domination or extortion of some sort, I guess. But even there, why do you need to extort artists? Why? Well, I guess it's just they get so much power. And in the 90s, the music industry was a very powerful thing. Now, these days, people with piracy and everything, it's less of a mega monopoly. But back in the 90s and the 2000s, music was a big center of money shaking, of power, of sales. It was really something. Frog Eyes says, Jeff, in a recent stream, you mentioned the police approached your new girlfriend concerning their investigation. Would you mind sharing what it is they discussed with her? I mean, they basically just wanted to check that, I don't know, I guess, that she was consenting being with me. So they didn't ask anything precise. And anyways, my new girlfriend doesn't know anything about Mama JF. You know, she knows Mama JF from watching the internet. That's it. So there wasn't much to discuss. It's just that people are always convinced that my girlfriends, that I'm like PDD. See, that's the fucking problem. People think I'm PDD. People think, wow, there must have been some lie that brought her there. It's like, no, I don't have to fool women to be in my life. Yes, they all know exactly what I do. They know my political positions. They choose me. It's like they can't process this. And so they send the police at me and they're like, we want to make sure that she consents. Are you aware of who this man is? What is your view on this man? It's like, yeah, they know who I am. It's, you're not going to, I mean, in a way, my normie girlfriends of back many years ago, they could be intimidated by this sort of process. But at this point in 2024, if you choose to go out with JF, you know what you're talking about. You know the, you know what kind of opinions I have, and you agree with them generally. So there wasn't much to discuss. It was very hilarious. So the police asked about Mama JF, and the police says to my new girlfriend, so what's your view on all this? And my new girlfriend looks at her and says, I think we're just eccentric people. That was very powerful. That was like, and the way she said we, it was almost like she considered herself a continuation of Mama JF. It's like, oh yeah, there's this girl out there who's lost in the woods, crazy. I'm as crazy as hers. And so I'm gonna say the word we. I think we're just eccentric people. That's what my new girlfriend said to the police, basically. We're just eccentric people. Absolutely. And the police, well, she was a female policeman. A policewoman, I guess you could say. And she said, ha 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 ha, yeah, I guess you could say that you're eccentric. And then I wanted to calm down because, you know, my new girlfriend said this naively and kind of candidly. But I wanted to calm the police down because we are eccentric. I was like, if you say we are eccentric and you include Mama JF in the we, it means you're as crazy as Mama JF. And so I reassured the police there. I said, however, please note that this woman right here, my new girlfriend, is an order of magnitude less eccentric than Mama JF. And the police said, ha, 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 okay, okay, okay. And you like this? She looked at me and said, and you like this? And I was like, yeah, yeah, I like this. I don't seek troublemaking woman. Sorry if you thought this. I actually actively seek non-troublemaking woman. I'm just dealing with the average here. When I get in trouble with people like Mama JF, it's just that those are the women available in 2024. Frog Eyes says, RCMP has like 250K operating budget to monitor JF sex life. maybe they do at this point. Raised Fist says, JF, you let them talk to her. I know you have nothing to hide, but still, it's a question of principles. Well, I said, you can talk to her if she consents, if she wants. And so, yeah, I'm really a libertarian. Like, if she wants, you can talk to her or whatever. It's like, yeah, I don't have... Anyways, it's this whole investigation is ridiculous. It's, and I don't feel that I have anything to risk in it, really. This whole Mama JF thing, it's really... It didn't happen in my life. It's a thing that Mama JF did, and she's playing some game, hiding somewhere. I don't even know. So it's like... Yeah, being interrogated on this subject, I don't mind. I don't have anything to hide. And it's more than I have anything to hide. It's, I don't care. I really don't care about all this. Raised Fist says, Jeff. Okay, this one I read. This is an interesting game that was played by Adam Ross. He's making a game theoretic, you know, these classical game theoretic situation where you can take the $5 or you can share the $5 with someone else. And if you share, you're going to get a little more money, but not as much as you would if you betray. And he had this game played between Jews and blacks. Now, that is something very interesting because there is this bizarre, lately, a very bizarre trend of Jews wanting to develop a black Jewish alliance. And it's like each of these partners deserve each other in some form. So, I mean, it's kind of fit, if you will. It's kind of fit, but at the same time, you know this is not going to work. You know things are going to, shit is going to hit the fan. And King Anus says new. Well, I mean new, because there's been a wave of Jewish personalities who have explicitly shown on Black Podcast in a, like I remember from about a year or two ago, Brett Weinstein going onto this ridiculous Black Twitter space that actually mocked him. Like, he wanted so hard to do the Black Jewish Alliance that he hadn't realized that he would be subject to mockery and to being cut out and not being able to speak. So new in the sense that there's a new wave of it. Of course, you could argue it's been a thing for a few decades. But look at how it works. The Jewish guys constantly betray the Black men. So Black men, your association with Jewry is not going to last.
Hey, bro, what's your name, bro?
Jay.
Right. Yours? Yeah, Valentino. So as you know, I'm Jewish, you're Black. We both need this money. We're very discriminated against, you know? It's fucked up what happens to us. So what should happen? We should both, like, split the money. It's a big parlay we can do after. It's really in this for the bread. If we both steal... Because, you know, you're going to do that. I know what you do. Like, you steal. yeah, cool. We're going to lose the money. I get it. So let's do that, bro.
You want to steal?
No.
So if they both steal, they get no money.
I want to split, my nigga. I want to split.
You want to split? No. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready.
Three.
So this is the prisoner's dilemma. Unfortunately... Unless you have a multiple round system where you can test and know the reliability of your collaborating partner, the rational thing to do in the prisoner's dilemma is systematic defection.
3, 2, 1, raise.
Steal. See, the Jewish guy steals from the Black man.
Ah, you got me.
All right.
And the Black man wrote split. He was talked into splitting, and the Jewish guy betrays.
Jay, I'm sorry, bro. You're out.
That's good.
All right, see you next one.
No, bro. Let's just split it. The reason I say that, or you can just have it. I'll give it to you, honestly. I'm trying to get on ban. I'd rather get on ban than fucking the money. I'll give it to you. So let me get on ban. You know this.
Damn.
I'm banned. I want to get on ban. You can have the money. I'm taking this opportunity to ask Aiden. If I win, I'll just let Aiden do the thing. So if you're down... We can split it. We can split it. You have my word. I'll write it right now.
I can trust you, okay?
W. All
right.
This is where you realize they're skin suiting white people. This guy is basically imitating honest white people to a degree of detail that is actually worrying when you know what's on his mind.
All right, go ahead and write it down, and let me know when you both write it down, and I'm going to tell you guys what to do.
All right.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Hey, man, I'm trusting with my soul, bro.
3, 2, 1, show it.
Steal Blackie?
Yo!
Steal Blackie versus split. The Jewish man betrays again.
Oh, steal that's Blackie. So fucked. That's so mean, dude.
Bro, what do you mean?
Man in a suitcase says Blacks won't be so easy to guilt trip into silence and passivity. Yeah, I mean, I hope that eventually they realize that there is nothing to gain in collaborating with Jews, that Jews always, in the end, they click the betray button. Rodilacid says, I wonder what would happen if you put Grok versus GPT in the prisoner's dilemma. I mean, they've been trying these things way before even Grok existed and AI existed as we know of it as ChatGPT these days. They've been making tournaments of Prisoner's Dilemma, computers, and automated strategies. At some point in the history of these developments, some of the best strategies to maximize point making in iterated rounds became the trust ones, but defect systematically once you get betrayed once by a given player. That has been a strategy that has been very productive. Now, you have to be in a certain tournament with certain types of players for this strategy to be a winning one. Because if you have too much betrayal, this strategy remains exploitable because you always lose the first round. So you have to be in a kind of tournament where there are other people like you that are willing to do that test round of trust and then betray if you've been betrayed. That is the Prisoner's Dilemma ultimately relies on the environment. It depends on which kind of other players you are playing with, where the optimal strategy will be different according to that. The SEC is seeking sanctions against Elon Musk over the Twitter purchase. Man, you knew that this kind of thing was coming. It's really legal punishment for Elon Musk having... It's so weird because you end up having the government going after a legal punishment strategy when, in fact, now the corporation, Elon Musk, the private individual, is the one who has honored our First Amendment rights. So basically, the government is going after someone for giving you, for respecting the Constitution too much. Because they would prefer if Twitter was in the hands of the leftists like it used to be. That really sucks because it's an indirect way for the government to violate the First Amendment. It's the government saying, either you're going to hold our kind of monopolies or we're going to use monopoly law against you. And that's exactly what's happening here. The SEC is suing Elon Musk for not appearing in a meeting where he was called. It was a meeting originally slated for September 19th, 2024, and legal representatives for Musk sought to have the date rescheduled several times. He failed to appear and provide testimony to the financial regulator about the $44 billion purchase of the Twitter platform. Representatives for Musk have characterized the move as drastic and were critical of the government regulator. Musk is kind of putting all of his eggs in the same basket. He's betting on a Republican victory to be out of trouble with the basically oppression of the federal government when it's under the Democrat control. I think Musk is making very risky bets here. Now, it's also possible, since it's just a failure to show up, who knows how much he will be fined. But the problem is, a failure to show up, if you buy a $1 million company, you may get a fine of $1,000 or $10,000. But what's the fine when you fail to show up at a meeting that you were compelled to, apparently by law, to attend, to answer concerns around monopolies and acquisition and blah, blah, blah? If the acquisition was for $44 billion, could they make a case that the fine must be very high? Hathaway says, blacks can't achieve much on their own. Even getting fucked over by Jews still nets blacks more than they would get on their own effort. Well, I guess you could make an argument like this, but I don't think it's like that. I think it's I think there is existential prices to pay. when you interact with the Jews, they really hate it that we reproduce more than them. And eventually they might come to hate the Africans just as much as they hate white people for reproducing more than them. That's really the culprit. Here we have someone from the black community sharing his thoughts about his community.
Black people will be spit on again. Nobody wants us even in their business. They don't want our money. They don't want us in their stadiums. We're gonna be an outcast. We ain't seen nothing yet, homie. We thought our ancestors endured something, but there will be a generation of black people that will endure something similar to what the nigga ancestors went through. And we earned it. Yeah, we earned it. We've taken on the animalistic, savage part of the human species. Go somewhere and see who the loudest in the place. Our violence have superseded the dignified people who we once were. We make up half of America's homicides. And this is a violent country. When foreigners migrate into America, they get introduced to America's system and in America's society. They have a particular showing that they show of us. That's why other races and ethnicities give us a cold shoulder when they get here. They're taught that we're like what they see in the rap video. Now just think, they can't understand English. These people, so they see the rap video, all they see is, so why you think they don't want to do nothing? Why you think they act the way they act toward us? This is shown to the world about us blacks in America. Black people.
Very interesting. Interesting take. This guy has been for a long time sharing his issues with the black community, and he's doing it again. I don't know who he is, maybe some rapper, I don't know. There's been news going around that the Chechen leader Kadyrov says that Musk remotely disabled his Cybertruck. I don't even know if that's true, but it's been going around for a couple of days, and it's particularly weird given that Kadyrov also bought two more Tesla truck. So you got your first neutralized and you bought two more of them. We've seen him go off-road, with equipped guns on top of it. It's funny, but I don't know if it actually is used at the front line or if it's just for the memes. I don't know to which extent the Tesla Cybertruck actually performs off-road. I've seen a couple of trailer filming suggesting that it's a real off-road truck, but I don't know to which extent it's true. Rodil Asid says, so Elon can track him 24/7. Does he also have an Alexa in his office or bedroom? Yeah, Tesla being what it is, it's basically a computer. And there is something really seriously that you have to question when you consider you will be driving around in a computer with lots of people wanting to kill you and with ways of locating that computer precisely on the road. So yes, it's for military leaders, it's a very dangerous thing to get. Personally, I never want these cars. I always want a mechanic car of the most basic form. Point A to point B navigation, that's all I need and all I want. Anything else is going to be a point of failure or a point of low security. Hadaway, and by the way, tonight will be a double program. So we'll be doing a short Ask Me Anything show, a chill one. And then around 8 p.m. Eastern time, we'll go do the private hangout. So if you are a $20 level donor on the Patreon or the Subscribestar, we'll have our private hangout tonight. Rodil Asid says, you can't talk privately in a Tesla. They record everything. Perfect aiming system for a random missile. Exactly. Now, I guess there may be ways they can undo these things, but it must be very hard to be sure that you've undone all. You know, I can totally easily imagine how you can disable the firmware and everything. But you're going to have to keep a part of this software that operates the engine and, well, the whatever is the equivalent of an engine for it, or the battery delivery system, and all of this will be hard to untangle. Rachel Wilson says, outsourcing motherhood doesn't make sense, and children need to know they're more important to their own mother than any job. They were talking about outsourcing motherhood. Totally, it doesn't make sense. And why would you want to outsource it? Basically, that's what our society is trying to do and has been trying to do. It's the whole idea that if you can collectivize bread making, if you can say, well, one person makes bread now for 10,000 people, can you do this with baby care? And the fact is you can't, because there's no good measure of baby care other than evolutionary success down the line. And because your genes are the only one who have an interest in your children growing up correctly, everyone else does a poor job. No one cares about raising your babies properly, so you have to do it yourself. A TMZ exclusive video of Diddy's Monday night arrest. Let's see what that is. So he's taken to the elevator by maybe some staff or agents. And now he has some handcuffs. They bring him outside. Yeah, so basically, being arrested for, it seems a little bit like the Tate reason, basically operating some sort of gangster ring of extortion, based on sex, and yeah, it seems that's what they're going for. It's hilarious when you realize most gangster rappers had to get sodomized by Diddy to get their record deal. It's going to be hard to get everyone to truly testify about this, because I think that a lot of the black men that were involved in this gay stuff, they won't want to acknowledge it. It's going to be too bad for their reputation, so they're just going to want to let it go. So it's going to be very hard to have a real evaluation of the number of victims involved. John Drake says, PD must have fucked over the wrong people. Yeah, why the system turns against you like this? Why the system lets a Jeff Epstein exist for decades and then suddenly does something about it? That is quite a mystery to me. And why the system let PDD go on for maybe 30 years? Why does it happen now? I don't know. Maybe eventually they feel too confident. They get loose. Eventually there's just an accumulation of kind of a social karma against you. There's just too many of your victims out there. They start talking about it. I don't know how it works. This is hilarious. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. allegedly sexted with a political reporter. RFK Jr. always has the weirdest stories about him. There was the idea that he was eating some dog. someone is paying for the most ridiculous and the most circus-like newspaper article for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to go out. Look, she's a girl, she's young, and when you're a young political reporter and you interview a political personality, of course there's going to be sex. It is the standard of the business. It's like, oh, a man of power. I would like to write a piece about you, Mr. Robert Kennedy Jr. Of course, she's gonna get excited. He's gonna be like, yeah, I'm the next president of your country. Don't you want to suck that dick? Oh, yeah, Robert Kennedy. You are my hero. I will write a beautiful piece about you. Of course, it's always how it happens. I'm not shocked. I'm not... It's just how it works. So I don't know how this comes out as news. It is how the world works. Young women love to fuck celebrities and personalities, and that's why they get infinite sex, these guys. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr., is he a legitimate personality? I don't think there's any chance for him to become the president, but even these second tier and third tier, even me, I could get a lot of sex that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't that I had my YouTube channel. So in a way, it's just how the world works, and you can totally increase your sexual chances by being a third, fourth level celebrity, quasi-celebrity / e-celebrity. And who blames Robert Kennedy Jr. here? That's what he's doing. Now that we have learned that the SEC will sanction Elon Musk, people were bringing back this old video of Joe Biden, where he was thinking, there's many ways to get to Elon Musk.
I think that Elon Musk's cooperation and or technical relationships with other countries is worthy of being looked at. Whether or not he is doing anything inappropriate, I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that it's worth being looked at. But that's all I'll say. There's a lot of ways.
See, there's a lot of ways. So this is a regime of legal persecution. And they're going after Elon Musk because Elon Musk lets people like me speak freely. It's unbelievable that you end up having a man who respects the First Amendment, who protects my First Amendment, but they harass him now for respecting my First Amendment right. Man in a suitcase says celebrity has 5x more aphrodisiac power than wealth. In a way, yes, you are absolutely correct. There is a massive amount of money that you can have that will give you access to women massively, but a small amount of fame will do the trick, absolutely. Fellas, what are your thoughts, says Pearl Davis. Yeah, she publishes this video, which I agree. It's a good division of how men can see women during the dating moments.
Five categories that men put women in.
Okay.
First one, on the bottom, is the desperate girl. She is trying to get him to like her. He doesn't have to work hard. So she is constantly chasing him, trying to get his attention.
Girl. She's just easy.
She's easy. She's desperate. Number two.
Oh, man. Number one breaks my heart because once you are stuck with a woman who loves you, but... You really don't feel much about her, and she, you know she's very low, you know she's ugly. there's really nothing you can do. It's a bodily thing. It's like, ah, shit. I can't love you. I can't feel love. I can't feel enthusiastic about the idea of being with you forever. It sounds like suffering just thinking about the idea of being with someone so ugly for the rest of my life. I'm not enthusiastic about it. That's how it feels when you have a number one woman who goes after you. And the thing is, yeah, she's going to get desperate. She's going to try, but there's no walking over this instinctive feeling of, no, you are ugly. You are disgusting. I can't be with you.
The good time girl. He's not trying to show this girl off. You're just there for a good time. Situationally, you'd invite this person out to a bar because, you know, you'd have a good time with this person. Three.
I've personally never had a good time girl because I'm autistic. I don't have friends, but that's the friends girl. That's basically the equivalent of friend zoning. Sometimes it's a woman who's so beautiful, you wouldn't be with her, but as friends you can entertain her and sometimes get the leftover sex drive that she may have with being a friends with benefit. I've never had a girl like this being a woman with whom I would go out and have fun, because anyways, women are not fun in general.
The good enough girl.
You have to be relatively low IQ. You have to be a low IQ man to actually enjoy spending time with a friend woman. I personally have never felt that. I've never felt friendship toward a woman.
He's settling with this girl. You know you're in this category if he isn't doing nice things for you. The fourth girl.
So the girl that you are settling for, yes, absolutely correct. That is a girl that you're like, okay, I can be in a relationship with her. I'm not super enthusiastic, but I can try to fake it. Yes, sometimes it's what you have to settle for because nothing else is available. But you are happy and you're okay. Like, you could, in principle, continue with her toward the end of your life. It's okay for marriage.
The fourth girl, the dream girl. He's excited about you. He's aligned with you. This is the wife material, the dream girl. The fifth one can get a little bit tricky.
The dream girl. And now the out of your league girl.
Out of his league girl. And this is the most dangerous girl. Because he's using you. This is what he said, not me. He's using you to bring himself up to your level. But will resent you and end up trying to humble you and even perhaps cheat on you.
Well, okay. I think a lot of broken men would act like this with an out of league girl. But an out-of-league girl is, ultimately, you should feel lucky. You should feel lucky that somehow the universe has aligned into your advantage. There's no reason to try to bring her down, and there's no reason to try to psychologically bring yourself up, but you're just lucky, and you have to enjoy your luck. Yeah, I agree with this, characterization. And here, an old video of PDD, so bizarre, where he adopts street girls. I mean, this is human trafficking.
Ava, I'm a Scorpio.
No, what's your last name?
Ava Combs.
What's your other last name?
Ava Baroni.
Ava Baroni Combs? Yes, it's breaking news. Diddy adopted a white child.
Diddy adopted a white child, a right child. I mean, he adopted this girl as a prostitute from the streets.
So I want you to tell them the story about how I adopted you. But you still have beautiful parents that but you're my child also. But please.
So he's trying to say that somehow she still has parents, but that they signed off on him handling her.
Please tell the story.
So I was on the streets, and then Papa Combs decided that he would like to be a caring man. So then he saw me and decided to pick me up and said to come inside and play with his kids.
Yeah. Come inside and play with, I don't know what she says. They translated it as bitch. Anyways, this guy has been involved in child trafficking as far as I'm concerned. Rodita Sid says, kind of like Michael Jackson. Man in a suitcase says, he's gay as a balloon, isn't he? Yes, there are rappers who are saying, you know, you don't want to go to a Diddy party. And someone was adding, you don't want to bring your girlfriend to a Diddy party? And the rapper answered, well, even if you were to bring your girlfriend, he's not interested. Unbelievable. Why do we have to combine music production with ass fucking? Why is there a link? Why do we need this? I prefer the music industry as it stands now. Less powerful, less grandiose, but at least there's no... Yeah, and this whole change of name, Ty says PDD equals penis diddler. This whole changing of the name from Puff Daddy to PDD, that was so pedo. Like, this in and of itself, it was just a weird sign that I was like back then, what can justify this other than something fucked up? John Drake says, imagine the founding fathers watching this. I don't know what they would think. Federal judge extends a freeze on Biden admin's new U.S. student loan forgiveness plan. So we've had a series of Biden attempts at circumventing the judgments and somehow indirectly getting to give that student loan relief, which is a way of him to purchase votes. And it's not been working because every time he does a new way of getting to it, the courts freeze it. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, JF, my friend owns his own business and pays minimum 40% on any transaction. I told him that's too much and the mafia probably took less. He doesn't care how much he pays as long as he gets rich. Our business owner is just being selected to be farmed instead of being efficient. Absolutely. There is this thing in our civilization where the class of the businessman is totally carpet submitted to the state. And they don't care about the fact that much of their work goes down the drain to the state because they have to pay the sales tax and then taxes on income, and they are taxed in multiple ways. And ultimately, when you look at a gas station or a restaurant, I look at it and I'm like, to what extent is that a business, or to what extent is that an outpost of the state? And the more the state has different ways to tax you, the more it becomes just an outpost of the state. You're really doing what the state needs you to do to maximize your sales, to maximize the sales tax and the state income. That's how I see it. And it's very sad. It's very sad that it shows that you can basically submit people by being tough with them. Normally, you would think of a businessman as having interest against taxation. You would think that the natural businessman is basically naturally converging toward a libertarian set of beliefs. But you have these normie businessmen, they overpopulate the system, and they're really just, they see themselves as a vessel for taxation, and they're fine with it because they think, oh well, doesn't matter that I have to give 15% to the state. The state is spamming this money around me through employment, welfare, and this welfare all comes back in my pocket. So they think they have the upper hand and that they can get rich from this system. It's a whole system of lie, and it's kind of how these systems of gambling and fake beliefs and Ponzi schemes always work. It's always with the illusion, oh yeah, you can get rich. Oh yeah, this system is biased towards some other person, but you can get rich. You have a way to get out of the system. You have a way to stop playing with the machine once you've made your profit. You have the secret to get the best cards out of the deck. And it's a delusion. It's a delusion. It's a whole system that's built to squeeze you out. That's what I would say to the leader, to the managers of a gas station or a restaurant. This system is all, you don't even own your gas station. You don't even own the restaurant. You're really just an agent of passation. And which is why I wouldn't throw myself into a traditional business role. I wouldn't start a restaurant on location or a place where it's easily seizable, because you end up being such a slave of the state. You are physically locatable. You can't move out. If you can't move a restaurant out, you can move your recipes out maybe, but you can't move the whole goodwill that you will have achieved in the local community. So you cannot move to another state a restaurant, which makes a business extremely difficult and easily targetable for increases of taxes. John Drake says, you can't beat the house. Yes, that's a nice figure of speech that is the counter to this. You don't own your house either. Absolutely, I agree. So to Silver Spider, yes, they are being selected for serving the state. There's a whole bunch of people in society that evolved to be sheep, and they couldn't do much on their own. But that the society has been working in a centralized manner for so long that it's basically abandoning your own control to an authority is what we've done forever almost. So it works. You can survive that way. It's a strategy. And ultimately, the alpha who takes his own direction is faced with so much obstacles that it's rarely worth it. And you can't have 90% of the society becoming alpha. You can really only have 1 to 5% ever of leaders, of thinkers, of contrarians, of revolted spirits. Ty says, I just interviewed for a remote position only to be told I lived in the wrong state. It is insane, insane, but it is so common. They want remote positions, but they need you to live in a specific state. This is where you see the whole corporate system has not evolved at all. It is crystallized in the 70s, and it's so frustrating because you would think that we have moved beyond this, but no, we're still in this very gangster-like, local gangs, local chiefdom, local monarchy, little knights coming to your home to get a little bit of tokens for the war. It's still very much what we are stuck in. Man in a Suitcase sends $15. Thank you so much. He says, Palantir is the data controller, SOF, all British medical records, i.e. the NHS. It is also a Mossad asset, according to Fuentes. Therefore, shouldn't one be suspicious of a right-wing YouTuber recommending we invest in the company especially since his other recommended stocks were Nvidia and Vanguard. Well, definitely, I think you should be suspicious, but who are we talking about? Oh, you say it's a British YouTuber. I don't know who that is, but definitely you may be talking here to an agent. An agent of the likes of Brown's Edge Pervert, that kind of people who build a following on Twitter to push the classical sets of interest. Oh, it's Dangerfield. Well, that Dangerfield is a weirdo. I would be surprised if Dangerfield was a... I think I've had him on my show. Dangerfield is a, like, heroin-type weirdo. Like, the kind of weirdo that has totally broken their brain with drugs. With heavy, heavy drugs. Now, he's so ridiculous and retarded that it's hard to have a theory where Dangerfield is some kind of subversive agent, because it would be very surprising that someone like him would be even hired to be an agent of anything. I mean, he's a broken, and he's a man who's broken inside. His brain is broken by drugs. Now, maybe he's an agent. I don't know. What's his state today? Does he have a big audience? I know that he has this weird life story where he moved to Cambodia. Not clear to me why. But yeah, if he's shilling for Palantir, that's certainly not a good sign. Maybe it means that Palantir is starting to buy influencers at the cheap, you know, and they start at the bottom with heroin addicted brains. I don't know what that means. John says, outstanding audio today. You're saying that to me or about Dangerfield? Yeah, I've been readjusting some settings with the hope that we stabilize. I think we stabilize toward a working level. Hathaway says, keep in mind Dangerfield always talks out of his ass. Yeah, I mean, it's this kind of just weirdo guy that, like, it's a bubble of trouble. You know you're in a bubble of trouble when you interact with someone like Dangerfield. It's a fascinating type of brain for observation and experimentation, but I wouldn't say that it's someone you want to trust on really anything. Anything. Literally anything. Yeah, we'll be headed toward the private show for the Patreon and Subscribestar supporters. So let's set the start of this show at 8:10 p.m. Eastern Time in 20 minutes from now. And we can have the private show. If you are a Patreon or Subscribestar supporter, go check out your page, and I will be refreshing for the show to start at 8:10 p.m. Eastern Time. This will leave me 15 minutes for a break for my voice. Much love, everyone, and I'll see you in 15 minutes. Thank you.